Yes, and good morning, everybody. It's Chris Gale here, and I present you with very, very disturbing news. Commander Stephen Ferris is not with us this morning. As you know, Fire Up 13 is on its near-disaster mission to try and slingshot back to the Earth from around the moon. And Commander Ferris went on a spacewalk this morning, and we've discovered a HAL-like computer on our spaceship. They've cut his tether, and he's drifting aimlessly over Amy Park in Melbourne. And we're petitioning Todd Greenberg to see if he'll be able to go out there and effect a rescue mission. But we brought in an A-team to help get things back on course, furiously and feverishly working at the controls. Good morning, James Tynan.
Good morning, everybody.
Your second appearance on Fire Up, how do you feel?
Nervous. I'm joined by three other gentlemen staring at me from across the desk.
Yes, so stepping up in Ferris's place is the only solution for a co-host that we could find, because he accepted the salary offer of nothing. We welcome to the co-pilot seat, Dennis Carnahan. Dennis, good morning.
Wow. Well, how exciting. Yeah, and as I said before, redefining nobodies and wannabes here. Lowering the bar even further. Can I just ask, who does James back?
Yes, James, who are you a supporter of?
City Music Arts and Culture.
Oh, fantastic.
That's called towing the party line, I think. You know, and I'm reading the subtext, rugby union fan.
Yeah. And
Dennis, doesn't the Earth look very fragile out the window?
The Earth does look very fragile and does look a long way away, and I'm worried about Stephen down in that hellhole down there.
I'm really worried about him drifting above the Melbourne City District, and we thought we needed some comfort food, so we've been able to invite a couple of guests to join us on our journey. First of all, good morning, Corey Farrell.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here, Chris.
What's happening for you this fine morning?
I'm just enjoying the 24-hour news cycle that is rugby league.
It's always something to talk about, isn't there? And we say good morning to Peter Campbell.
Hi, it's wonderful to be here. It's certainly a thrill. I love what you've done with the place too. It's just superb.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's only a little cabin.
Yeah.
And it's only designed for two people, and we've got five.
Yeah.
So it's cramped.
I'm just worried about Stephen drifting aimlessly over Melbourne. He might run into Sandra Bullock. give you a no-win outcome.
God forbid.
Anyway, can I simply say our thoughts and prayers are with Stephen Ferris this morning, and Godspeed. Now, look, guys, I don't know if you do read the news. Corey, you say that you are following the rugby league news cycle. You might have heard the words Mad Monday being mentioned.
I've heard it mentioned, yeah.
Okay, well, I need to talk to you guys through a massive story, a story that sent ructions through the entire rugby league. And I refer, of course, to the story about ex-Rooster Jaden Nikarima offering $7,000 to a teammate to lie about Mad Monday drink spike. Any of you gentlemen across this story?
It's a terrifying story. It's a shocking story, and you know, it's a real curse, this Mad Monday thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Dreadful business.
So a former Wyong Roos player. Wyong Roos is a thing, apparently. Anyone?
Yes, they're part of the Central Coast League, and they've been the feeder club for the Eastern Suburbs Sydney City East City Sydney Roosters.
Not anymore. They're not.
Which one are they now?
Well, no, North of the feeder club as of.
Well, that's right.
This week.
Yeah. They have been for a few years. So it was the Jets for a while. Then the Sharks took the Jets, and then it was the Wyong Roos, and now it's the Bears. And I know Bears fans who have. They've drifted to other teams in the absence of the Bears, and they've literally put their Bears jerseys under lock and key at the back of the closet now that they've signed up with the Roosters. But yeah, the Wyong Roos.
Look, I think the severance of the Roos from East is a big story, because that's why they've had to bring in Usain Bolt, because it's the only way that we can get the Central Coast on the map. And it's so great that the Central Coast is now on the map, because let's face it, previously... not on the map.
No, not at all.
Anyway, Brad Keegan, 23, a former Wyong Roos player, was promised $7,000 to sign a statutory declaration lying about spiking a drink of ex-teammate Jaden Nikarima during Mad Monday celebrations to help him avoid an NRL suspension. This had happened 9 months after Jaden Nikarima had his Roosters contract torn up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When is a contract just cancelled?
No, it's ripped asunder. Ripped asunder.
It's always turned up.
Was this a vanilla contract?
Yes, this is a vanilla contract designed by our friend Stephen Gorry.
It was fantastic. Yeah, and it was ripped up. So when a player just ditches the contract and just skips it and says, yeah, nah, or backflips, is it torn up then? Is there a physical tearing up?
No. Only clubs can tear up contracts. That's in the contract.
Mm. Right.
One of the clauses is the club has the right to tear up a contract.
Player can just walk.
A player just breaches.
It's just a breach. Yeah.
The contracts now come with a perforated line across each page, just in anticipation.
Well, that's right, because there's been some terrible paper cut incidents for club officials tearing up paper, player contracts. And we,
you've got to avoid that.
The NRL, as we've seen this week, is all about health and safety. And I think this is a health and safety issue because Jaden unfortunately returned a positive result to ecstasy after an NRL-approved test taken on September 27 last year, 3 days after the Roos Mad Monday gathering at a Budgerywar address on the Central Coast. And for legal reasons, we can't disclose where that is. And it was the second time he provided a positive sample.
On the Central Coast.
That's right. Okay. Until you're saying it actually gets in the team,
Central Coast
is not on the map.
It's only allegedly Central Coast.
That's correct. Anyway, this triggered an automatic 12-month ban. So he sent a text message to Keegan and other players saying, would they admit to spiking his drink during Mad Monday to help him avoid getting sacked for a second strike? And he offered to pay up. A couple of payments of a couple of grand arrived. And as we're getting near to the key moment, Nicarima made numerous phone calls and sent a text message to Keegan, which in part read, we've got 20 hours to get to a phone call from you to confirm our stat deck, or we are ducked, man.
Yeah.
We never thought of that. We've always said Michael Lucked, but...
Yeah. Ducked.
There was a discrepancy in the payment size as well, wasn't there? It never really got to the full amount.
That's probably where it all fell apart. Yeah. I've offered you 7 and I only paid 4.
Yeah.
And this is why probably Keegan's fessed up. Now, have any of you gentlemen ever done anything to lie for a mate?
Well, not really that I'm going to admit on air, but I'm just impressed that the only friend Jaden Nicarima could get was someone who actually wasn't at the game and then went on a cruise. Yeah. So he was unable to give evidence or testify to the accuracy of his stat deck.
So you're saying that Jaden hadn't really thought this through?
He needed to research it a bit better before picking the guy who actually wasn't there to spike his drink.
The only guy who wasn't there.
But Peter, you were talking before about the great Junior Brown, who of course wrote specifically the song Fired Up for this show. It was a tremendous effort for him. It's a pity we don't play it every week. We probably should because we commissioned the theme.
Play it most weeks.
He had a song there?
Yeah, he had a song called My Wife Thinks You're Dead. And it's about... it's about a guy whose friend always got him into trouble, and so the guy told his wife that the friend had died so that he wouldn't be getting into trouble at home anymore, and he's just making it clear to his best friend he's never turn up at the house because my wife thinks you're dead.
We've got to get Junior Brown on this show. I mean, I think he's of advanced years, but if we could get a whip around.
He played Bluesfest a couple of years ago.
There you go.
Perfect.
Yeah, maybe we can sort of slough off some of the money from the Fire Up T-shirt merch sales, the Tarramurra Bin Chickens, towards the Junior Brown.
Doesn't that look good on Corey there? Yeah, it looks magnificent.
That's a fine. There's lots of folds in it that are very attractive.
Glistening.
We've had a demand for in black, which means we'd have to sort of negative the logo. We have to think about that. But you can get onto our Facebook page and have a look at Corey there in all his glory.
I haven't actually taken it off, Chris, since getting it. So.
It's a Tarramurra RLFC Bin Chickens T-shirt.
Yep.
And Corey's much like Chris Hyington after the Sharks grand final. Wore his jersey for 3 days, didn't take it off.
Yeah.
Doesn't smell too good in the space capsule, though, does it? As we say, the Tarramurra Bin Chickens taking rugby league back to its true heartland, the upper north shore of Sydney. Now, when Keegan pleaded guilty, Magistrate Peter Feather, his nickname Knocked Me Down, said that Keegan's charge was this: more serious than occasioning actual bodily harm, it's more serious than stealing, it's more serious than common assault, and it's more serious than drink driving. A false stat deck.
Sounds like OJ.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say, it sounds like he's just reading off the... He's gone to the Hall of Villains at the Rugby League headquarters.
Maximum penalty of 7 years.
It sounds like the Cronulla rap sheet.
Exactly right. However, the magistrate went on to say that Keegan is unlikely to reoffend. And if I was looking at this young man away from the matter, I would describe him as a fine young man. And so yet again, redemption comes through.
What a backhanded in rugby league.
But the other thing, again, Nicarima's picked a guy who admitted he didn't think he was doing a wrong thing. Surely the fact that he was offered $7,000 to lie must have twigged something, that there might have been something shonky with this proposal.
The NRL does a lot of player education about a variety of issues, but if you miss the particular lecture, as... it seems the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs missed the Mad Monday rules and order of conduct lecture, and it's resulted in a little bit of a fracas that we want to go into after the break.
With now, the Bulldogs?
The Bulldogs, yeah. Big story, Dennis. I know you're a busy man. You might have missed it. And we'll unpack it for you after the break. But what was interesting, that after all this controversy and a tough week for the Bulldogs, they still went on with their presentation night out at Bicentennial Park last night. The word is that the players were in suits and on the waters. Magistrate Peter Beattie was there to preside over proceedings, make sure that no one got out of hand.
Gavel, and, wig.
Exactly. And there was entertainment, and it was just a man and his acoustic guitar, and we're so lucky to have that performer in the studio this morning. Take it away, Dennis.
At one it began, down at the Harborview Hotel. By two it was really going strong. It was early spring. The Bulldogs were on Mad Monday. Then somebody put Sweet Caroline on. Hands touching glands, reaching out, touching each other's family jewels. Sweet cupping time. The Bulldogs celebrate so good. Why'd they get fined?
Blah, blah, blah.
Just for being in the news.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I've got, they used to call the blues. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around, some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
But here's the thing. After a couple minutes, I was feeling kind of fired up.
Has anyone felt more fired up than the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs at the moment?
I had an irresistible urge to take my clothes off and stand on the table. I just don't understand it.
My hand is ready to cup anything that came into reach.
Well, I hope you warmed it up.
Yeah, very much warmed up.
Look, it's Pavlovian, really, isn't it? Like, now this systemic response. We hear Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. People want to nude up.
Well, what I think is going to be most interesting is the scarf culture game. Yep. Next door to the real semi-final.
Allegedly tomorrow.
Allegedly tomorrow. It's between the two Sydney scarf culture teams.
At the SCG.
And obviously you're going to have Andrew Rose playing Sweet Caroline at quarter time. What's going to happen? Like, is it going to be full 42,000 AFL fans taking off their scarves and their shirts and their leather patch jackets, and those who aren't standing on the chairs are going to be cupped from the people in front? Are there going to be people standing on chairs, naked, reaching back, reaching out, touching, and touching the cupping the person behind them? It'll be a mass cupping.
I think the answer simply to that is yes.
Well, will it cut across team support? I mean, will one side supporters cup another side?
Giants fans cupping Swans fans and Swans fans cupping Giants fans. This will be a great moment.
Cupping me, cupping you.
Oh, this will be beautiful.
Yeah, we really haven't thought
this brings
this thing
a
through.
Tear to my eye.
And Corey, I don't know whether you agree with me, because, by the way, the SCG isn't Southern Cross Group Stadium, because I know our listeners would only be aware of
of
that
course,
particular
of course.
SCG.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the G?
Shire.
It's the
Sydney
cupping ground.
Correct. Corey, are you with me? I've been actually campaigning for some time now to ban the following songs from all public events. The Horses, You're the Voice, Sweet Caroline, and I think now I've got evidence. And I'll probably throw in Toto's Africa as well. Do you think this is a good move?
No, I like Toto's Africa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got to stay.
You heard the Weezer cover version?
Yeah, it's great.
Adds nothing. Now, look, guys, obviously we're talking about the Bulldogs Mad Monday. We're impelled to. Initially, I'd like to read the consequences, but before I do, your initial impressions when you heard about it, what you thought about it, were you happy, sad that you weren't involved? Isn't this what rugby league players dream about, Dennis?
Look, I have to say, I wished I was there. It looked like a great night.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And who? I want to know who the Wowsers are that haven't wanted to do that. That have what? Who is actually outraged by it?
Oh, apart hello, Buzz Rothwell. Well, come on.
I'm not outraged, but I certainly don't want to cup Adam Elliott. So
that wouldn't be my first choice of cupping.
I was inspired by that photo of Adam Elliott and Clemmer. And yes. I think it should be its standalone competition, Mad Monday. Well, we should make a trophy out of that photo.
Former pilot of this show, Brett Oaten, made sure that I was copied into the photo that we put on the Fire Up Facebook page, which shows the iconic Summons Proven shot alongside the Clemmer Elliott shot. I mean, surely there's a trophy in this.
There has to be.
And they can make the trophy like they did in Game of Thrones by pouring the bronze on top of them while they stand there.
And Parramatta might be a shot at winning that too.
Yes, that's right. That could be a sad result.
I think the Bulldogs have it. It will be the Bulldogs trophy.
It will be a sad result for Adam and Asapelli Fine as a part of their criminal convictions. They actually get bronze live.
Well, you mentioned that the Bulldogs had their awards last night. Did anybody get one?
I'm not sure. But let me tell you, can I read you the results of this rather unfortunate incident? So the Bulldogs themselves have been fined $250,000 by the NRL. So if Todd Greenberg can't steer some of that money towards Stephen Ferris to rescue him, no, hang on, he is steering money towards Stephen Ferris.
That's probably what it's for. That's probably what it's for.
That's Ferris's DJ bill for one game. It adds to a Bulldog rap sheet this year of paying out Des Hasler an inordinate amount of money not to coach, $15,000 for turning up in the wrong jerseys, $5,000 for some rather choice words from Tony Grimaldi to the referees, and most of all, their rap sheet, they came 12th. So, $250,000 from the Bulldogs to the NRL. Now, Adam Elliott has been charged with willful and obscene exposure, as had Asapelli Fini by the cops. I want to come back to that. Maximum jail time is 6 months, so it got serious overnight, really, didn't it?
Yeah.
We shouldn't really be making light of this, but we probably will.
And having just heard of the Nicarima incident with Magistrate Feather running that... all the things that he found were less offensive than signing a full stat deck. I got to hope these guys don't come across Magistrate Feather when they hit court.
Yeah, I think he'd be quite tickled if he gets the matter.
Hopefully they come across as decent young men.
No, fine young men.
Sure, fine young men.
One of the guys' name is...
Fine.
Finney, F-I-N-E, so he's got a head start.
Yeah.
Elliot, not so sure. Zach Wolford, the junior germ, son of your mate.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Simon Wolford.
Oh, the germ. See, and now his... If he was one of the cuppers, there is a history here. There was a marvellous game between the Dragons when the Germ had gone from the Raiders to the Dragons, as so many people did. Michael Wayman was still playing for the Raiders prior to going to the Dragons, and Jason Riles was playing. And Jason Riles had tackled Michael Wayman, and Wolford, best mates with Wayman, who's just left the Raiders, reached around and gave him a little squirrel grip, a little squeeze on the tail, a little cupping. And... Wayman took offence and turned, didn't see the germ hiding behind Riles and doing the reach around, so punched Riles got sent off.
Riles had it coming, though, to be fair.
The face on Riles. Riles is looking, going, why am I being punched? And then Fox Sports show the slow-mo and the snigger on the germ's face. So like father, like son.
And this is when he was playing for the Dragons, right?
Wayman was playing for the Raiders.
Right.
Well, the Raiders have been the feeder club for St George for a long time anyway.
Right. That's right.
But much like the Wiringroos have been the feeder club for the...
Dragon fans would be upset because it's denied opportunity to Riles to drop the ball again.
And in fact, someone got sent off. But as you say, he got punched. So I think even Dragons fans are like, oh, thank you. Someone's done it.
So Germ Jr.'s been issued with an infringement notice for offensive conduct, automatic $660 fine, which clearly includes the GST. I like to see the police are tax conscious. Marcello Montoya, who was my favourite name in rugby league.
Great name.
Until the advent of Luciano Leilua. Yeah. No criminal offences have been levelled at Marcello. The club has fined Adam and Asapelli $25,000 each, $10,000 suspended. Zach and Marcello, $10,000, $5,000 suspended. The Harbourview Hotel. Now, I think everyone needs to get around the players, but they need to get around this hotel because
Absolutely.
They're
this
in trouble.
This is where they filmed Starstruck. The home of Starstruck.
Wow.
Under the bluff of the Harbour Bridge.
I went
to the launch of that movie.
Did you nude up?
No, but I did go in costume.
I think the NRL's been pretty hypocritical, though. I mean,
how so?
Well, they've said it's okay for Trent Merrin to run through the media conference. Mm. It's okay for commentators to talk about Mad Monday nudie runs.
And about nudie runs for someone not scoring a try. Yep. That's all fine. It's also fine for Bo Ryan to turn up nude on the footy show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so this
all backstage at Aladdin.
Oh. Easy. This is a complex issue that we're getting into. The hub of your hotel has been hit with penalty notice for permitting intoxication and indecent behaviour, which I thought was the mission statement of the hub.
Hotel.
Right.
It's on the front door.
The criminal offences stuff is sort of, as I said, it's got real. Because obviously we're talking about obscene behaviour, and all the things that you've done there sort of implies that nobody was offended. Yet these boys being charged implies that someone's being offended. Now, a lot has been made of the fact that it occurred on the third level of the hotel, that you had to actually have the Telegraph reporters and photographers on
climbing
some sort
on
of
roofs.
Cherry picker operation in order to be able to get the offending images. Are the police charging these men because the Daily Astonisher has been offended by their conduct? Is it that the situation now?
We're within 6 months of an election, Chris. You have to take that into account. Although I do have a mate who lives in the in that inner city area, and he says it's no different from what happens every Friday and Saturday night there. He just doesn't know
why.
Well, exactly. He just doesn't know why there's a fuss being made.
It does seem odd that you know, we go on in rugby league about the there's 100 penalties for offside that could be blown every game. So where you pick the one or two you blow affects the game. There's 100. I'm sure on Monday night there would have been 100 cases of public nudity in Sydney. Even with the lockout. And this is obviously done within the boundaries of the lockout.
What sort of circles are you moving in, Dennis?
Yeah. Sydney. Right. Within the lockout.
Well, is this nitpicking? Is this like the technical offsides? Is this another referee's
cracking? And I reckon Todd Greenberg has said to the referees and the police, book everything. Just book everything. How Todd Greenberg has authority over the police, I don't know.
They're going to backflip and let it go soon, I think.
But I'm just a bit disappointed. I mean, there's 8 teams that should have had a Mad Monday last Monday, and we've only heard about the Bulldogs. What about the other teams?
We have heard about Manly.
And Manly. Manly lost the Mad Monday celebrations. They came a poor second.
They were forbidden from having Mad Monday by their coach. Yeah. And regardless, they had it anyway. Suggesting that maybe Trent has lost the dressing room, as he did in Gladstone when he said, no, boys, don't go out to the strip club after you've been beaten. Mm-hmm. Go home and have an early night. But they went out to the strip club anyway.
Let alone losing the dressing room, Trent and his kids are still there cleaning the thing because of the budget cutbacks. I actually heard about the Manly Mad Monday. The intention was that you dressed up as a character from a movie released in the year of your birth. Mm-hmm. I went back to my year, 1961, and it was 101 Dalmatians. So, you know, that would have easily answered what I would have done.
Well, you could have gone to the Newcastle one.
I must say, when I first heard the story, I thought that Canterbury was making a stand because obviously Manly, who is in disarray, and let's face it, will be in Perth next year if they're in the competition at all.
Mm. Hopefully.
Them not honouring the tradition of Mad Monday, the Bulldogs guys said, we've got to get this back onto the front pages. We've got to show that this is part of the fabric of rugby league.
It's the heart and soul.
Well, trouble was they weren't wearing the fabric.
That's right.
Can I go on a little bit of outrage? Can I go on a soapbox just for a moment?
Dennis, please. Why we got you on the show.
Adam Elliott.
Take your clothes off and stand on that.
I'll get the gear off. Adam Elliott.
Who's a great guy.
He's a great guy. So Adam Elliott was... There's been 1,000 articles this week about Adam Elliott, and there's been 1,000 articles about players vomiting. There's a picture of someone vomiting. Now, where were the Telegraph? Where were the Telegraph photographers every week at Bulldogs training when they did their fitness and they did their metabolic conditioning and they trained until they spewed? They train until they have so much lactic acid built up that they spew. It happens every week. They train hard, all of them. They all go so hard. They go till their heart rate is over 200 and they keep it up there such that they get so much lactic acid they vomit. Where are those photos? Why don't we hear about that? Adam Elliott, why aren't we hearing about the work he's doing for kiddies with autism because he has a sibling with autism? And he was up for the Ken Francis Medal. I suspect that's been hush-hushed. But that one night of dancing nude on the table to celebrate. Celebrating the fact that he doesn't have to train until he vomits every day of the week for the next couple of months. He's got a couple of months off. He's celebrating that. And no one's talking about, the papers aren't writing hundreds of articles saying, how good is Adam Elliott going out and working with autism charities? Where's that?
I think you've just provided a defence for Marcelo Montoya from why he threw up. It was from overtraining.
Correct. It was. It had to be from overtraining. Correct.
And what was great was the Elliott nude incident occurred at about 5:15 and they had to stake it out to 8 o'clock, or 9 o'clock, I think, to get the picture of poor old Marcello, who looked so peaceful when he was just having a little kip on the side of the road.
Oh, well, he is a Bulldogs winger. It's a natural position.
The trouble is here, Dennis, is you haven't thought about the children. Because let's face it, we all accept that rugby league players are role models. And I saw an impassioned article by a journalist in The Astonisher that I think is published today saying that, you know, my kiddie was at his rugby grand final, which automatically raises cross-code allegations. Yeah. And that in 10 years he'll be the age of these players And she was concerned that her little kitty would aspire to be on the front page of the Telegraph throwing up, passed out or nude. Is this right? Is this what the kiddies aspire to? No, is this what you dreamed of when you were a young kid?
It is rugby. I think they aspire to be, to be knocking over heritage buildings and putting apartment blocks up. I think that's more what they're aspiring to do.
And when they fall over, their fall is cushioned by the leather patches on their elbows.
Precisely. And they wouldn't go out without them.
Absolutely not.
So there's two things here that I don't think have been properly countenanced. And there was a little clue in the Canterbury media statement. They said, we want to release a public statement about the Canterbury Bankstown get-together. Now, first of all, if you call something Mad Monday, I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Maybe rather than abolishing it, it's just a matter of changing its name.
Or the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. Completely switches it, doesn't it? Mad Wednesday is not alliterative. No. Takes the pressure off.
Yep.
Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah, but I mean, I certainly knew that one of the my experiences in my daughter's teenage years is they wanted to take the heat out of the word party. So they go, it's a gathering.
Gatho.
Or it's a catch-up.
A gatho.
Or it's a get-together.
Yeah.
So if we have the Monday gathering, Tuesday catch-up, have we solved the problem?
Yeah.
I think there's a broader application of that concept too, Chris, because the term party is a bit on the nose at the moment, particularly in Canberra. Perhaps we could have the Liberal gathering.
Yes.
The Labor catch-up.
Yes.
That could work.
I have to say
the bipartisan get-together.
Yeah. It's something I've always wondered about politics. Being a Canberra boy, they talk about the Liberal Party, the Federal, the Labor Party. What exactly is there to celebrate in that? And I don't see. It's a party and there's no nudity. There's no cupping. There's just knifing. That's not a party.
No, it's 100 years of Chinese meals in Sussex Street for the Labor Party. That's what they celebrate.
Hello, Sam Dastiari. Now, we would like to know what you think on our text line 0409-945-945.
Please call them texters.
Yes, do you want to see Mad Monday taken off? Have we thought this through? What would be the economic impact of the end of Mad Monday? I personally think that costume stores all throughout Sydney will suffer a precipitous drop in their turnover. What else will we be missing out on?
Topless waitresses.
Sure.
Nude beaches.
And waiters.
Nude beaches will lose their allure.
Yes.
Well, I think the cruise industry is the next one where the players are going to, the Mad Monday is going to be Mad Monday Cruise. You're going to head out the heads. You'll get like 24 lifesavers lined up around the edge of the ship.
Yep.
And you'll just say to the players, there's no photographers. We're off the horizon. They can't see us. Cut
international
yourself
waters.
Sick. We're in international waters, international law. The captain says, nudity is fine.
I know the Australian government is committed to the development of the space industry. We are in a spaceship right now. Perhaps that's the ultimate way we should approach this, is actually, do a deal with Richard Branson, get Virgin Galactic over here and send boys.
Why go old school? Get Elon Musk.
And gals, as the Women's National Rugby League competition commences this weekend, doing their post-season celebrations up in the cosmos. Now, we were really lucky to have that musician who performed at the Bulldogs presentation last night stay with us, Dennis. Another reflection on a mad get-together.
The alcohol drips inside their heads, get switched to overload. 'Cause nobody has to go and train today. This Bulldog season is done and gone. The NRL don't understand it. They think wowserism's good as gold. For the end of your season, can't you get Chinese in and have a quiet night at home? Oh, 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 oh. The NRL, they don't like Mad Mondays. The NRL don't like Mad Mondays. The NRL don't like Mad Mondays. They're gonna give a $250,000 fine. The Telegraph team are all so clean, and none of them has ever had a drink. They're as puritanical as Rupert is tyrannical, and outrage takes up all their ink. Buzz, Paul and Dean are all peachy keen. They like 10-pin bowling and roller skating. They can see no reason for a team celebration. It's outrageous and it needs to be shown. Oh, 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 the Telegraph don't like Mad Mondays. The Telegraph don't like Mad Mondays. The Telegraph, they don't like, but they love outrage. The Telegraph don't like Mad Mondays. They want to shoot boot photos to bring the whole thing down.
This country fired up.
It's a real question, isn't it? And the fire up faithful out there have been, can I say, innovated and galvanized by this issue. And we've had some real proposals on the text about what it should be called. Just another Manic Monday. Get hammered, which I think is really getting to the point. Dazza from Newtown says that killing Mad Monday is un-Australian.
Oh, Dazza.
I agree, Dazza. 100%.
I think there's a job in the Daily Astonisher for you, Dazza, because they spend their entire lives reflecting on what is un-Australian. Todd has suggested that Mad Monday will become like Doofs or Rays from back in the day. I have no idea what he's referring to. No information on the venue until the day of the event. Wouldn't that be exciting as a rugby league player to have to make the
See,
call?
See, this is the thing. Yeah. You're mentioning this, that the young people don't have parties. So my child says that under 30 is a gatho. Over 30 is a party, but there's like 30 and under, then there's 150. There's nothing in between. But what they do is the venue isn't, like, if you're meeting at 7, you don't get the text message or the Facebook group chat until 6:45. So do that. And just what you don't do is put the Telegraph photographer, you kick him out of the Facebook group.
Yeah, he's not invited. You don't invite the Telegraph.
What's he doing in the group? Making a private group, Bulldogs. It's not hard.
But above or below 30 for a gatho, I think it determines the level of security that you require.
And but going for your child's activities, anything over 150 is probably illegal.
I think anything over 30, something illegal is probably happening. And there's probably nudity.
You can bank on it. Someone suggested about there should be a merging between Mardi Gras and Mad Monday, and I think that's, you know, I know the NRL has a float in Mardi Gras, and I think we could extend that concept. It'd be
Why
good.
Why not? Piggyback on it. Yeah, that's great.
Good.
Piggyback. That's a good idea, too.
Piggyback, cupping the lot.
Endless possibilities.
Yeah, you're right. Combine the two things. Imagine a Mardi Gras where there's 100,000 people cupping.
Economic efficiency. And the good news is that, you know, there was the sad news recently that Neil Diamond has been diagnosed with Parkinson's, but apparently he's got it under control and he's going back out on the road.
Oh, wow.
So if you could see an infused NRL Mardi Gras march through Sydney with Neil Diamond at the head with Sweet Caroline being boomed out over the city.
The tragedy is that so many people will turn up for that Melbourne is going to try and steal it off us to put it in the MCG.
Be careful. Watch out.
A conga line of cupping.
Oh, conga line of cupping all down Oxford Street.
And
team
then you get,
after
you get
team.
All those well, that's art Friday house night photographers anyway, huh? Who would document it with those, you know, mass nude shots, which lead to outrage for the Telegraph, and it will lead to a job for Dazza from Newtown.
What does the Telegraph think of Spencer Tunick's photo assemblages?
Well, this is right. Yeah. This is right. It's un-Australian.
That's true. He's American.
Someone suggested Trashy Tuesday, and Greenberg has timed his run and will forget about all this by the fact that the refs will ruin all the games this weekend. So. Now, look, as we come towards the end of the season, and for many of us, there is no season left. Our clubs have been eliminated. I think we've got some very, very intimate views here to share in relation to where their clubs are. My colours nailed to the mast. West Tigers ninth this year. Dennis Carnahan, your club?
Canberra Raiders, 10th.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah. Can I just say, we were 5 games behind 8th place. Like, we lost a lot. We were 5 games outside the 8. However, we were the best attacking team, and we were only 6 games behind top spot. So it is kind of astonishing, there's that word again, that there's only 2 points separating, only 1 game separates first from 8th.
Yeah. If only Sticky could have found you some tackle bags. Peter, your club?
Sharks are hanging in there. Technically 4th, but I like to think equal 1st.
Beautiful. And Corey?
Exactly.
I think we rounded out in 7th by the end of it.
Being which club?
The Dragons.
Which is Stephen Ferris's club, so we've got a good cross range. And I'd like to walk you through your individual clubs at the moment. Now, you are playing finals football, Peter, and we'll talk finals a little bit later.
I'm hoping this is going to be a short walk,
yeah,
if you're going to walk through.
But, you know, I think when everyone thinks Cronulla Sharks, they think Andrew Fifita. What's been happening this week?
Well, what's Andrew doing this week is a regular feature of Cronulla life. when he's not... when he's not bad mouthing journalists and you know, when did that become
a
sin?
Or the coaching staff,
or giving suggestions to the coaching staff,
or knocking beers out of the hands of Melbourne fans.
The club actually tries to keep him busy with community activities very successfully too. So during the week he's been involved in some Indigenous programs and some mentoring. But the club also sent him out to Kurnell, which is at the eastern end of the Shire, so they call it Far Kurnell. And he read a children's book, took part in the launch of a children's book for children at Kurnell Public School.
Terrific.
Which was great. We just hope none of the kids told him he wasn't reading hard enough.
And what about the story I'm reading that Coach Flanagan's time, his papers might have been marked for the Sharks? How is that possible, Peter?
Well, you have to take a hard view, and you look at the Sharks, and we're kind of struggling a bit financially, and perhaps Flano's just not coaching them to play a style of football that's attractive to fans or potential sponsors. And given the other issues the club has with media, and hey, look, let's self-report a possibly $50,000 cap offence and nothing else, and lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in commercial credibility.
Do you think that self-reporting is just a struggle for relevance? That they're jealous that the Bulldogs are getting all this press. Yeah, they want to get in the Astonishing.
Every chance. But look, Flano's position is they talk about teams peaking too early. The Cronulla team never peaks. We only ever grind out close wins, and that wears down
everybody.
The nerve endings of everybody that watches.
Can I just say grinding out close losses is a lot worse for those nerve endings, because we've had a lot more close losses ground out than you've had close wins.
You're suggesting that sponsors don't sign on because of the style of football of Cronulla players.
There is that possibility. Okay, that's a perception.
Let me put it to you, a counter proposition. Sponsors might not be signing on for the following reasons. Asada. Cocaine offences, including CEOs and star players.
Is it Asada, a Japanese beer?
Continuous drunken disorderly ejection from clubs, which, let's face it, is why people get into rugby league.
Yeah.
Profane podcasts, salary cap breaches, and I think sponsors would accept all that, but the vision of Paul Gallen interviewing ScoMo, the new number one Sharks fan. You are the new Black Hats of the rugby league, and I think that's why no one's sponsoring them.
That's the biggest matter of all,
isn't it? I think also the apartments aren't selling. That's the other thing.
Well,
the swamp.
Well, the apartments aren't being built.
I thought they were building a roller coaster there as well. And I think the fact that people thought that they were going to buy an apartment/amusement park investment, they've been dudded.
Is it an amusement park because the Sharks are occasionally a laughing stock? I'm not sure.
Or because their season's a roller coaster.
The best thing, though, that they've done down at Shark Park is they got rid of that big electricity pole thing that used to be on the hill, because I was concerned that generations of Sharks were being denied the opportunity to get born because of the effects on Sharks.
Well, the other thing was that our electricity bills are lower because everybody who sits at that end of the field kind of glows at night anyway. So
now, Dennis.
Yes.
You got anything to promote, by the way, Peter, apart from, you know, your lifestyle choices?
Well... Okay, so I did take my clothes off during Sweet Caroline. We have to keep coming back to that. No, I'll save it for later.
So, Dennis, you always—the only reason you ever come on this show is because you're trying to flog something.
Oh no!
What's coming up?
My love for Ricky.
What's
coming up? Rugby League the Musical's season review, and it's at the Bridge Hotel Roselle on Monday. Mad Monday. 15th, this 24th September, the Monday before the grand final. And I was actually on the weekend sitting there going, gee, you know, I've done the show 8 times at the Bridge this year. It'd be nice to have some new material.
Boom.
Boom.
I mean, you have been doing a run in the last month in August of Mad Mondays. Are you going to change the branding now to Get Together? Or
well, I don't know. It'll depend. I'll speak to Todd and say, well, what am I allowed to use? Am I allowed to use Mad Monday? Am I allowed to, I don't know, season review? Is that okay? I'll check it. I'll run it by.
And on our Facebook page, you can see a picture of you dressed up as Wayne Jr. Pierce applying some head tape to who last Monday night?
Well, it was a marvellous thing. This is beautiful performance art. There was Wayne Jr. Pierce from Rugby League the Musical speaking about himself in the third person, putting head tape on Wayne Jr. Pierce, former Balmain Tigers, now from the Australian Rugby League Commission, who also spoke about himself in the third person. So there's two Wayne Jr. Pierces. This is meta. This is deep meta.
This is meta writ large. And look, in regards to your club, I think you've already spoken your piece. So I just want
to... No, I've got plenty more to say about that.
I just want to quote from the media.
5 years into a 25-year plan with Ricky. I've said that before, and I'm looking forward to how it's going. I'm loving the club, and I can't see the narrative of losing close games. Everyone, you know,
it's a long grift.
We're through that. So I think that next year, oh, I'm so excited. To be honest, we started our pre-season. To me, there is no season 2018. It stopped after our shellacking by the Storm. So we've been for the last 4 weeks in pre-season 2019, trial matches.
I quote, Canberra falling apart when the pressure was on and lifting to heretofore unforeseen levels of defensive resolve once the season was gone is like some kind of elaborate torture from Greek mythology.
Very much so.
Canberra season has been labelled, and it's such a theme today, Kingdom of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I'm a Tigers fan. Our exciting news is that Benji and Robbie have signed on for one more season. As soon as Robbie got the ink was dry in the contract, he was glaring on the bench when he was benched by coach Ivan Cleary against the Rabbits disaster last week. And you could see his mind ticking over. This coach is gone. This coach is gone. Well, I've got words for you, Robbie. He's probably already gone. Corey, St. George, can I just reflect on St. George's season?
Here we go.
We've seen fans booing, spitting, throwing merch, which is scarves, which is barely merch, and burning jerseys.
Yeah, we're a passionate bunch.
Yeah, and you made the semifinals.
We did, yeah.
What would happen if you didn't?
I mean, we're a victim of our own success. Like, we're such a successful club that... That just leaping into the finals.
How do you measure success?
Well, one premiership in 40 years.
Oh, okay. Well, we're successful then.
Absolutely.
11 in a row, never before, never again. So I think
you were alive then?
No, not at all. I think this season fade was the recession we had to have. So I think we're ready to fire up.
Yeah, of course you are.
Like, are you any chance tomorrow?
No, not at all.
Yeah, right, good.
No,
it's spring. So this is the thing. They're a very seasonal kind of team. They love autumn, the Dragons. Love winter, the Dragons. Come spring, the mind wanders. They start losing.
I don't know if you saw Jimmy Graham yesterday. He gave a wide-ranging interview on the St. George prospects, and they said, are you adopting a siege mentality? He said, I don't know what that means. He was then asked about some of the medical conditions, like Widdop Scholl. He goes, look, I told you I didn't complete my medical degree. And then he came out with an impassioned defence, as you did, Dennis, of Adam Elliott and the right for players to party.
It's very Wayne Bennett of him, isn't it?
It's really, really tough times, I think, for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. But I love it.
James Graham's got to be confused, though, because he's come from Bulldogs. He hasn't played finals for ages. The last time he was in the finals, he allegedly bit Billy Slater's ear. So
his head's
probably spinning at the moment.
I was there. I often say that, don't I?
Of course you were.
And I think that was the defining moment for James Graham. I think the Australian Rugby League public fell in love with James Graham the moment he bit Billy Slater on the ear.
I agree.
And are we going to miss Billy? Anyway, we just want to talk up the finals because that's our job. Thank you, Mr. Greenberg, and all the very, very best to you and your family as we move right into the semi-finals and, of course, the launch of the exciting Women's NRL Premiership tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking finals, when we're talking grand finals, we're talking premierships, we always talk Commandant
Evil Emperor Smith.
Cameron Smith.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been. In his octopus's garden, in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's.
Listen up.
the two defining characters of the playoffs in the NRL this year, of course, are Melbourne captain Cameron Smith, otherwise known as the Octopus, the man with no DNA, and the fact that the NRL's invested in SpongeBob SquarePants to keep the kiddies entertained, and that, of course, was Avril Lavigne. It's hard to say, isn't it? Avril Lavigne's take on SpongeBob SquarePants.
So the kiddies they're entertaining, are these kiddies that are now kiddies, or are these kiddies that are, you know, in their 20s and 30s who grew up with SpongeBob? Because kiddies, I don't think, grew up with SpongeBob.
Right? I don't know. James, were you a SpongeBob SquarePants fan in an earlier incarnation?
I was not. I think it was a little bit before my time. After my time, rather.
Yeah, it was after. I mean, Luke Burt was a SpongeBob SquarePants fan.
It's weird. I would have thought SpongeBob was timeless.
If there's any team that SpongeBob represents, it would be the Dragons, in that we're out of our depth in the finals, I think.
Are there some issues about lifestyle choices of the old SpongeBob?
I haven't. You know, you think that they're sort of, you know, subliminal text.
I just had the feeling there was some concern that he and one of the Teletubbies, I don't know.
Well, I don't think the NRL would make a mistake there, and I think that'd be good. I think the main concern is that a lot of kids would probably have more fun interacting with a lifestyle octopus mascot suit with the face of Cameron Smith on it than they would with SpongeBob.
Henry the Octopus Perenara.
Henry the Octopus Perenara. We'll see how that plays out. Cameron, unfortunately, you know, let's face it, is now friendless. As I say, he's forced to be on Channel 9, who he was at war with 3 years ago, and hanging out with the likes of Gal and Gus because he's got no friends left.
He's forced to go to other games to try and find other teams to try and find friends.
I know, it's really tough. And
try and bask in the glow of Queenslanders who Queensland loves.
Who actually retire when they're supposed to.
He's under the spotlight because the former NRL executive Chairman Smith had promised him a testimonial match plus two lunches. But his agent is going out and telling everyone that there is no limit to the Cameron Smith testimonial lunches that can occur, and there's all sorts of concerns about salary cap breaches as a result.
Is he signing up with John Farnham as well to do the tour testimonials?
That's the only reason anyone will have lunch with him, if the NRL organise it. So
I would love to have lunch with Cameron Smith, and I would love Fire Up to have lunch with Cameron
Only if
Smith.
You're prepared to praise him. You have to come to praise Cameron Smith, not to bury him.
I think Cam Smith would love to come on here. He'd twirl his moustache, he'd raise his top hat, he'd go at every suggestion you make about him.
By the way, we had another text simply suggesting just change the name to Madness Monday and this would all be over.
Perfect.
Mm. Actually, just with Cameron Smith and Melbourne, as much as I hate Melbourne and everything they stand for, I'm just thinking, with the eight teams playing the semi-finals, the captains of four of the teams are products of the Melbourne system.
Products, is that the right word? They're more like manufactured
cyborgs.
Yeah, the assemblies, aren't they?
Well,
yeah.
James Maloney, Gareth Widdop, GI, and Captain Smith.
I did like GI pointing out to Cameron Smith that even his hair doesn't like him.
Yes, I mean, that was... Well, I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, the man aged gracefully.
I know.
I've always supported Cameron Smith, as you all know, and I want this to stop now. I want to take him to lunch and tell him that I care, and I can introduce him to one of the really, really good hair replacement places.
You've had Cameron Smith's back for a long time.
I've had his back for a long time. Now, tomorrow, the Sydney Roosters take on the New Zealand Warriors in the first NRL women's game out at ANZ Stadium, followed by the Penrith Panthers versus the New Zealand Warriors. Now, Blake Green has come up with a masterstroke for the Warriors. He's had them training pumping crowd noise and loud music into the arena, because we've known all season the Warriors have meditated.
Yeah.
So this is like aversion therapy, because they're expecting the cauldron-like atmosphere of the semi-finals.
Smart move.
Don't they realise it's Penrith at ANZ? It'll be like empty.
Well, it'll be like Brookvale.
It'll be the echoes, you'd have to be worried about.
Like the Roosters versus the Cowboys at Allianz.
I heard it was just looped audio of Jake the Musk yelling insults.
I tell you what, though. I don't know if you've been to the border of North and South Korea, but that's what they do there. The North Koreans pump the music and the crowd stuff, and now I know what it is. It was so that they could win the annual Rugby League North versus South Korea Cup.
State of Origin.
Which will now be known as the Clemmer Elliott Trophy. Mm. Who do we like in that game, by the way, guys?
Penrith, actually.
Any reason?
No.
Just like Penrith?
Yeah, I like Penrith.
I've got to say, I'm actually more excited about the women's game. I think the women's game, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it will be good, won't it?
Well, see, I come from the Sharks, and we don't want to talk about the women's game anymore since our team was stripped from us unfairly by
NRL. Andrew John saying there's too many teams in Sydney, so it's happened to the women. They've cut the Sydney teams, but only from the women's game.
But in a rare serious moment, there's a great story that the Papa Lee family, the mother Papa Lee is playing in the women's game and the son is playing in the men's game. Don't you love that?
That's great.
How good is that a story?
Yeah,
that's a beautiful story. And their cousin is on Mad Monday.
And let's just spend just one quiet little moment thinking about our mothers playing football.
I love that.
Doesn't work for me.
No, it absolutely works for me.
Mine was tough. She was a tough cunt. She was a shearer.
Yeah, yeah.
She was tough. Oh, she'd be probably she'd probably play in the middle of the front row.
Yeah.
And she would have the loose arm and she would be giving it to him. She spoke to people,
A lawyer and author of The Vanilla Contract, Stephen Gorry, on this show before, and I'm sure he'll love the fact that I'll publicly humiliate him, that when he was giving his wedding speech, he got to his family and he described his mother as a Bradley Clyde-like figure, prepared to do the hard yards, take the ball up the middle, got a good reaction from the crowd, and he stopped referring to his notes. And he was ad-libbing for the rest of the speech and got to a crescendo, sat down, failed to mention his new wife.
Wow.
You never come back from failing to mention your wife in a wedding speech.
So was she on the bench that game?
Yeah, that's right. She was not in the starting 13.
She reminded him. Well, it's probably a good thing because he was going to talk about her reminding him of Blocker Roach.
The remaining games, we've got the Sydney Roosters and the Cronulla Sharks. Peter, are you attending that game?
I'll definitely be there.
I will be there as well.
Yeah, I'll be, I don't know where I'll be, but I'll be somewhere in the crowd hurling abuse at the referees.
And the revelations this week that Cooper Cronk is revelling in fatherhood, but it's causing him a bit of an issue.
I got an exclusive about this.
Yes.
Ooh. I heard that Cooper Cronk, in preparation for his baby, went to a German sleep institute for efficiency.
Because he says he used to get 7 to 8 hours. He now only gets 3 and says it's driven him to be more efficient. And I mean, that blows my mind, the concept of Cooper being even more efficient than he was previously. Wow. But he has said his caffeine consumption has gone through the roof, and that worries me, and it could be a cry for help, I think.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, the Sharks have two words for Cooper Cronk, and they're Wade and Graham. And at some stage, he'll get the ball on the left-hand side and he'll be hit on the right.
Imagine, mate, Wade having a crack at Clem. Not good enough, mate. Not good enough. I thought it was petty.
It was funny how he said he had one line. Not good enough. Hey, not good enough. Not good enough. Hey, hey, hey. Again,
another miss.
Not good
another
enough.
Miss.
Not good enough.
Another miss.
Hey?
Another miss.
Wow, it was great.
You know, it's concise. You've got to reinforce the message.
They really do
you
miss.
You play 80 minutes and see how you go.
They really do miss Ennis. And Ennis would come up with something a lot more significant.
And we wrap up on Sunday with a Broncos-Dragons doubleheader with the women and the men up at Suncourt Stadium. Corey, do you want to revise your opinion? You're tipping a win?
I'm going to be in Kangaroo Valley, away from television,
purely
to miss the game. Yeah. I don't want to see it.
Let me guess, in a wellness retreat.
Yeah.
Will you be up on the third floor singing along to Sweet Caroline, getting nude in preparation
I may
for
be
the next
nude.
Day?
I may be nude at some point.
So look, I hope we've done Stephen Ferris proud, because we may never see him again as he drifts off into the void above Amy Stadium tonight. No, Dennis, I want to think you've been magnificent.
Oh, wow, thank you.
I mean, the fact you've been able to back up after the Bulldog celebration was incredible.
I was there the next day and I was looking at the Channel 7 crew covering it. It was exhausting.
James, do you feel more fond about rugby league or less fond as a result of this experience?
I've been thoroughly impressed by the entire experience, and I'll check it out sometime.
I really respect that. Peter?
It's been wonderful.
Corey?
It's been great.
We leave you with the news that has shattered the entire rugby league world. Paul Gallen will be fighting the self-confessed I'm 10 years of waiting grub, and we refer, of course, to
Hopper.
The big Hopper.
The big Hopper.
Hopper is rugby league. This has been Fire Up. See you next week.
Bye.